Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark, Millennial Ben. Okay. Let's see if I can find a good one. Let's see. Nobody, by the way, believes that you didn't eat Play-Doh as a child. Nobody believes that.
Oh, I didn't eat.
Yeah, yes, you did.
This is a great.
Nobody believes
I
that.
I did not eat Play-Doh as a child.
We all did.
No, we did not.
Yes, we all did.
Mike, that's like you trying to convince yourself, hey, everybody ate boogers as a kid. No, not all of us ate boogers, Mike. You did. I know you did. Look at you. It's like, I'm so hungry.
Delicious.
But not all of us did that.
All right. Question mark right. Coincides with Is It Just Me Friday. This one comes in from Wade, who asks, Mark, is it just me? Or will the cooler be dealing with a new GM, GM Payton, when his contract is up instead of Elway?
I think that's a distinct possibility. So he was a second rounder, right? So you've got to play 3 years before you're allowed, right, to renegotiate a deal under the collective bargaining agreement. Is that how it works?
Correct.
So, what does Elway have left? This year and next year?
Correct.
That's a distinct part.
Two-part question. Do you believe John Elway wants to be the general manager and get a new contract? Do you think he wants to continue to do this?
Ooh. I don't know. That's a great question. I have no idea.
No idea.
Do you think he would rather slide up and just be, you know, the grand poobah of football operations?
And let somebody else be the GM.
And let somebody else be the GM?
But stay involved.
I think he would
still
like,
maintain the title.
I think he would like to stay in. I'm just guessing. Pure speculation here. I mean, you got to do something.
Right.
He just turned 60, right? John?
I'm 52 or 51.
I think he just turned 60.
I'm 52 or 51.
No, he's not 52 or 51. But he's still young. I just still feel like you got to do something.
60, yeah, just turned 60.
Yeah. So, but to be involved, but not to be
grinding.
Right. I mean, like, When I went and did a couple of Dolphin games, Dan Marino's there. He's working out. He's, you know, he's America's guest.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's kind of hanging out.
People know me.
You're going to scout a little bit.
Can you
dabble?
Can you share the story on air that you shared with me about scouting the quarterback?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's like, oh, we got to scout this quarterback from so-and-so. And, gonna go, you know, gonna grind on some film. Well, he's here this weekend. He's playing against Miami tomorrow.
He's at the Orange Bowl.
He's at the Orange Bowl. It's just right down the street. Oh, yeah, I got a golf date. I'm gonna watch it on film. Yes, I'm playing golf. Yeah, all right.
So, okay. So
that's
you don't
fine. I mean,
so you don't see John Elway being the every day in, day out general manager of this team after his contract runs out. But you see him being president, you know, face of the Broncos type thing, and somebody else assumes that role.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
Okay.
Kind of slide out of that, be more in the business, you know, kind of the business aspect of operating the football team.
Yeah, we also saw news yesterday that the Broncos ownership family next court proceeding has been bumped back to 2021. So the long-term ownership of the Broncos continues to be put on hold. And I'm curious, just how long is the NFL cool with that? How long before the NFL says, look, we've given you plenty of chances, plenty of time to figure this out. Enough's enough. One of our flagship franchises, it needs more clarity. It needs more stability. And you guys need to sell. Are we near that point?
Well, I don't know that we're near that point. Like, there's this old riddle. How far can a dog run into the woods?
I've never been good at riddles. Riddles and word problems.
Right.
Okay, what's the question again?
How far can a dog run into the woods?
Okay, what's the answer?
You don't want to take a guess? How far a dog can run into the woods?
I know whatever guess I come up with is not going to be anywhere near what the simplicity of the riddle
is. He can run halfway into the woods. Because once he hits the halfway mark, he's running out of the woods. So that's the riddle. And the point...
Mind blown.
Right? But the point is, I don't believe the dog has run halfway into the woods yet. I still believe they're running into the woods. They're not running out of the woods yet. So my point being is I think the league will allow them to continue to run, but at some point they're going to say, based on record and based on the franchise's health and based on the television ratings and based on all these other things, at some point, if they don't fix it, if it's not operating at high efficiency, if it's not coming out of the woods, because we've been in the woods for 3 years, if we're not coming out of the woods, if there's not light at the end of the tunnel, then the league is going to say, hey, guys, we need to move this thing along. But you know what I'm saying? You understand the...
So if the Broncos ownership situation was the dog, it hasn't run halfway through the woods yet.
Right.
Huh. That's,
Yeah. All right, I'm going to give you another
riddle. I'm kind of locked up right now.
Yeah, I'm going to give you another
riddle. I'm a little bit locked up right now. Mentally, I'm locked up right now.
This is going to be your opportunity to redeem yourself. Right,
I'm not good at riddles, but okay.
All right, here we go.
Not good at riddles. Never.
I have two coins in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
The total value of the two coins added together is 55 cents. One of the coins is not a nickel. What are the two coins?
Millennial Ben just whispered in my ear, a quarter and a nickel.
A quarter and a nickel?
But you just said one of the coins is not a nickel.
I said the total value is 55 cents.
Is that what's going on with you millennials? They're not even teaching you math anymore.
Right.
Huh?
So what are the two coins?
Okay, so once again, two coins.
Two coins. Total value of the two coins.
Is 55 cents.
55 cents. One is not a nickel. What are the two coins?
So it can't be like a half dollar and a nickel. So how do you get 55 cents out of two coins? But, Ben, will you listen to me? He said one of the coins is not a nickel.
The other one is, Mike.
Right, because it's a 50-cent piece, idiot. It's a 50-cent piece and a nickel. One of them is not a nickel. Yeah, because it's a 50-cent piece.
Wait, hold on a second. See, I told you my mind was locked right now. Two coins equal 55 cents.
Right.
One is not a nickel.
Right, because the other one's the nickel. One is not a nickel because it's a 50-cent piece.
You know what? I like the dog running through the woods one better.
Oh, I could be here all day.
Oh, yes.
I got riddles.
Oh, I got many.
I got riddles.
He's the Riddler. Mark Schlereth, the Riddler.
I love how adamant you were. No, you said one wasn't a nickel.
It's like when you get pissed off at your kid.
Right. No, you're going to take six more hacks. until you don't stride and move your body toward the ball. One is not an angle.
We just freaking did that.
Yes, yes, exactly.
You keep sending us the wrong way.
Oh. Man, got a little bit of a insight into what happened on that trip to the commissioner's party right there. No, it's not a nickel. I told you. He said one
we
wasn't a nickel.
Did that.
We need to get you back to the beach.
Hi, is that your daughter? Hi, is that your daughter?
Serenity now. goodness.
Okay. Yeah, all right. All the Riddlers are coming out on the...
Oh, yeah, now...
They're all coming out now.
Oh, now everybody knows the answer to that.
Everybody knew that. Everybody saw that coming a mile away, right?
Mike, you're so dumb.
I'm surrounded by smart people on the RamosLaw.com text line.
Well, it is the 8 o'clock listeners. You know, they're all... Everybody knew it was a nickel and a half dollar.
Yeah. See, I suck at riddles.
Uh-huh.
Suck at word problems.
Yeah.
Just my brain doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Not good. Not good.
It's all right.
It's all right. All right. In the spirit of this show, ESPN2 is going to become the Ocho. Tomorrow with Ocho programming.
Nice.
Remember how the Ocho used to do this? They put like bizarre programming on.
Right.
So ESPN2 for several hours tomorrow is going to become ESPN8 for more than 9 hours of seldom seen sports. Here's a list of some of the sports that you'll be able to check out. 2 p.m. Eastern time. Cheese rolling, frog jumping, and Japanese monster wrestling.
Ooh.
3 p.m.
Where do they get the monsters? Is that like Godzilla and...
Right, like... did you guys have Creature Double Feature when you were a kid? One of the Channel 56 growing up always had... On Saturdays, they had Creature Double Feature. It was always like the best... The greatest monsters would square off against each other.
Hmm.
And, of course, Godzilla was king.
Oh, yeah.
Godzilla was the goat.
Yeah.
3 p.m., world deadlift attempt, the Hathor deadlift.
Ooh.
4 p.m., the 2019 Grit and Wit National College Championship.
What is that?
That's, I have no idea.
Grit and Wit.
Grit and Wit. I'm looking for...
Okay.
A breakdown of that.
The old Grit and Wit.
Don't have that.
No.
At 5 p.m., the Ohio Grocery Baggers Bowl 2020.
Those Ohioans. Boy, they can bag some groceries.
At 5:30, the 2019 Stupid Robot Fighting League.
Okay.
6:30 p.m., the 2019 Death Diving World Championship.
Death diving.
Here's some of the other sports. The 46th annual Cherry Pit Spitting Championship.
Ooh. This sounds like a...
So anyway, check that out if you're...
Sounds like I'm gonna...
If you're bored for content tomorrow on the Ocho.
I like the Highland Games. The little Scottish games where they...
Yes.
You know, throw a rock or something.
Stone and hammer throws.
Right.
Yeah.
A log. How far can you throw this log? Throw a keg over the...
Love when they throw the kegs over the wall.
Right. Should be an exciting weekend of Ocho sports.
Of the Ocho.
Yeah.
Okay. If it isn't just me Friday, we give you a chance to get stuff off your chest heading off into the weekend. It can be about anything and everything. There's a lot going on with the teams here. We've already had... somebody come out and said, is it just me or did the Rockies win the World Series this year? You and I both agreed that if we had to rank the championship, well, the likelihood, Nuggets make it to the Western Conference Finals, Avalanche make it to the Stanley Cup Finals, or the Rockies make it to the playoffs. Now, admittedly, the bar is set much lower for the Rockies, but we both agreed. Rockies, number one. Avs, chances, number two. Nuggets, number three. Is it just me, or when we're talking about the Nuggets, we got to stop talking and being so, like, infatuated with the Michael Porter Jr. and Bol Bol stories and get down to the real matter that matters, and that is, when are they going to get Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, and Will Barton back? There's four games left.
Right.
Before they jump into the playoffs, and these guys haven't played yet.
Right. We had talked about this, too. We had talked about the fact that don't you really need four or five games to work on your continuity? Don't you need four or five games to, you know, get a rhythm together offensively just to get back into, you know, what you're going to do? And the other thing is for Michael Malone to understand what your rotations are going to look like, what they're going to feel like. I mean, you got to have, at some point, you got to have those guys play, or you got to see if they can play.
Right.
You just can't roll into your first playoff series and say, okay, I'm going to start you guys, even though you haven't played at all during this, you know, this eight game tune up. I mean, I would think it would be important.
One other thing, I want to get back to the question mark presented by Breaks Plus, and that is, what is the likelihood that Dalton Reisner will be dealing with Peyton Manning, the general manager, instead of John Elway? So the first part of the question was, what do you think John Elway wants? What his future, what he wants his future to be? Can you see a scenario in which Peyton Manning is running the Denver Broncos? What would that scenario look like?
I could see that happening, but I don't see those two coexisting.
No, you'll never have the two of them will never be on the same Broncos organizational masthead.
Yeah, I don't think they coexist. So if Peyton is running the Broncos as the president / GM, kind of what John is doing right now, then John is no longer part of the organization. I wouldn't think.
I'd agree. And doesn't it all come back then to how this whole ownership thing is resolved? If Brittany Bowlin wins and she is the owner, then I think John Elway continues to be with the Broncos for as long as he wants to be. But if another Bowlin wins, if the Beth Bowlin side wins, no, I don't think John's involved. And certainly if the Broncos end up being sold to an outside party and new ownership comes in, maybe with a group that includes Peyton Manning in it, then most definitely John isn't involved in it.
Right. And I think that scenario is probably the most likely scenario because, well, when the Carolina Panthers were sold, he was part of a group, Peyton was part of a group that was bidding for the Carolina Panthers. Now, they lost out to Dave Tepper, who eventually won that bid and is now the owner of the Carolina Panthers, but the group that took second place in the bidding war for the Carolina Panthers involved Peyton Manning. So I think that's probably the most likely scenario, right?
Can I ask the question right now that everybody's thinking?
Sure.
Everybody listening to this conversation right now is thinking the same exact thing I'm about to bring up.
My best friend Peyton Manning.
Not what, everybody.
What role?
Because I'm not thinking about anything
right
now. What
role would Brandon Stokely play in a Peyton Manning-led administration?
He'd be the get-back guy.
The get-back guy?
Yeah.
What's the get-back guy?
That's what Fred does right now.
Oh, Fred.
Yeah. He'd be the guy on the sideline going, come on now, scoot back, give the coach some room.
Yeah, that's right.
Get back.
Get back.
Get back. 5 yards. Get back. I'm Peyton. I'm Peyton's best friend, Brandon Stokely.
He'd be the
Hey, get back or I'm gonna squirt you with some chili pepper. I got some chili pepper mace. Get back.
The get back guy.
Yeah, he'd be the get back guy. Who would the get back guy makes?
Well, if you're a friend of the guy in charge, you probably do well.
I mean, I think it comes with a, you know, a low six-figure salary.
Fred's been with the Broncos forever. I'm sure he's done just fine. And I think Stoke would do just fine as the get-back
guy. Well, Fred does more than be the get-back
guy. No, I know.
Fred is the But I'm just saying that Stoke would just, maybe Fred would keep his title as, like, Fred is, like, in charge of stuff.
So the first, my first ever Bronco training camp.
Yeah, did Fred yell at you?
Your second, it was your second Super Bowl year.
Uh-huh.
So it's my first ever Bronco training camp. I show up at Greeley.
Uh-huh.
I got all my stuff. I got my you know, big bag with my big tape recorder and Sony tape deck and all that stuff. And so
I can see you with one of them big foam cowboy hats. It's a really big one.
Right, because I'm new to Colorado, so I want to fit in.
Right, exactly. Like, I do. Shorts and a pair of cowboy boots. Short shorts.
Tight short shorts.
Right,
short dungaree shorts.
Yeah.
Cut off.
Exactly.
With boots and a hat.
Yeah.
So I show up, right? And
piece of grass hanging out of your mouth. So, I do.
So practice starts, right? Uh-huh. Practice starts, and I am just flat out on the sideline, just sitting down. I am sitting down, sprawled out,
right,
on the grass in Greeley, watching you guys sweat, doing your Oklahoma drills and everything. And I'm just like, this is awesome, right? And Fred comes walking up to me, and he just stops. Doesn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Not even mean. Just looks down at me. And he just says, you gotta be new. I'm like, well, yes, I am.
Yeah.
And I introduced myself. He's like, yeah, we don't sit down here. Nobody sits down. The players don't sit down. The media can't sit down. You can take a knee, okay, but you can't sit down.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, okay. That was my encounter with Fred. Mm-hmm. And no doubt Shanny probably sent him over. Shanny probably saw me sitting there. He's like, what's going on?
That's right.
You know, Shanny likes things done a certain way.
Right. So that was your first experience.
That was my first experience with Fred. And I can see Stoke doing that.
Yeah.
It was just more of a drawl.
Yep. Stoke would be the guy in charge of getting people back.
Yep. Get back guy. Is it just me or you guys obviously do not understand basketball?
Oh, Lord.
The Nuggets have been missing a guy who can score and shoot the three. Major weakness last year in the playoffs. And is that not MPJ? Harris, Murray, and Barton choked last year. Oh, I see. We are full aboard the Michael Porter Jr. Express, huh?
Yes.
Choo-choo. Everybody aboard.
Yep. We're just going to ride him right to a world championship.
Don't get me wrong. Michael Porter Jr., by next year, yeah, he is probably going to be the Nuggets' second-best player. And he could be the guy that helps put them over the top for a championship. But if you're talking about this year, if you think that the current cast of Nuggets is going to be able to make it to the Western Conference Finals without Barton, Murray, and Harris, you're kidding. You're kidding yourself. You don't know basketball.
I have said this many times. I have said that the Nuggets really lack a perimeter guy who consistently can knock down three-point buckets. Consistently knock down those shots. Because, let's face it, you've got one of the best facilitators in basketball. If they're going to go down and double-team the Joker, you've got to be able to knock down those shots. And so if MPJ can consistently do that in NBA playoff games, and remember, guys, what they're doing right now is not NBA playoff games. It's not. It's exhibition games. And if you think what you're witnessing right now is going to be identical to what you're going to witness when the playoffs actually start, these are RSN make-good games. There is a big difference, Mike.
There is currently in the bubble, I would say, 1, 2, 3, maybe 4. Four teams that are playing with urgency. One of which, the most urgent of all the teams that I've seen playing with desperation, the team that just beat the Nuggets last night, Portland. Because they're trying to close the gap over Memphis and get in. Portland is playing like this is a playoff series, a playoff game. Everybody else, all those other teams, besides the four that I mentioned, they're all just, these are just tune-ups. They're just tune-ups.
Right.
So just keep that in mind when you watch what Michael Porter Jr. is doing. It's great. It really is. It's awesome for his development.
Right.
But is this basketball so real that you can expect him to continue to do this once the playoffs start? I'd say no, which is why, at least for this year, it is still crucial. And I know what that last texter obviously feels about Barton, Murray, and Harris, but if you want them to go far in the playoffs this year, you need those three, and you need them playing at a very, very high level.
All absolutely.
Right. More,
hey, by the way, yeah. On the text line real quick.
Yeah. See, you never reference the text line because you're never on the text line.
I'm never on the text line.
But Sandy left it open.
Yeah, it's kind of fun right here.
Yeah, I think I do all the time.
Fred Fleming, y'all, Director of Special Services.
That's the guy.
Love Fred. Fred and I love Fred. Fred is good,
you
man.
Gotta be new.
You gotta be new.
I'm like, yep, I am, sir.
Here's one of
Howdy-ho.
You. Here's one of you. It's just a gif of a cow laying on a mat and just really taking its time to get down there. That's you.
Oh, if I had one of those mats while I was sitting there at Greeley,
can you imagine?
Great. Okay.
All right.
Stoke, the get back guy.
Yeah.
Get Back Guy and Zach coming up at noon. All right, more Is It Just Me's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
All right, Is It Just Me Friday? Getting loose, having a little fun here on a Friday. Let's find some good Is It Just Me's.
I've got one here.
Oh, man. This is dangerous.
I know. This will be the last time this happens.
With the RamosLaw.com text line, yeah. It's just dangerous.
Is it just
We've
me?
We've created a monster, Sandy right. Clough.
Is it just me, or are you guys not being consistent? You say that Murray, Harris, and Barton need to play these games, but you also say these games serve no purpose other than satisfying the RSNs. We're not being inconsistent. They don't serve a purpose. They serve the purpose of you've got to play to get yourself in shape to get a little bit of rhythm, but it's not playoff basketball. Like the two statements can be true is these games don't matter from the standpoint of they don't, there's a different intensity level. They don't match the intensity level of the playoffs, but you still need your guys to be in quote unquote basketball shape.
Yes.
So they do serve that purpose.
Especially when your guys are hurt.
Right.
If those three guys weren't hurt, then...
You would still need to play some, though.
Yes, but that's all it would be, is just to play to get tuned up and in condition.
Right.
Now, these last four games now have become important, more important than they normally would have been, because they haven't played yet. And we are getting that close to the playoffs, and they have to get some playing time in, some conditioning, some continuity out there. Because, and for all of you who are like, well, you know, they choked last year, they're not that important. Those three guys, as Michael Malone sits here right now, envisioning what his 8 or 9 man playoff roster is going to look like, rotation, I guarantee you, those three are part of it. And right now, 3/8 of what his projected playoff rotation has not played yet.
At some point, you have to play. At some point, you got to get some reps in. At some point, you have to have some, you know, some on-court continuity. I mean, remember, this is not like, hey, I've been out with a hamstring for the last 3 weeks, but I'm coming back and we were playing together before. They just went through what they hadn't played since what, March 14th?
Yeah.
Since the pandemic hit. And now you get to the bubble and everybody checks out in the bubble and everybody gets, you know, there are no COVID tests and they start playing. And now it's August 7th. They haven't played since March. It is August 7th.
Yep. Look, I've told you what my blueprint for long-term playoff success is for the Nuggets. Nikola Jokic has to play like a superstar, which I think he can do.
Right.
Then Jamal Murray, your $175 million man, has to play like an all-star.
Right.
On just about every night during these playoffs.
Right.
And then you need a third scorer capable of going off enough during some of these playoff games in order to give you that 20 to 25 points necessary to be able to get a win. And they have not had that third reliable score.
Right.
Now, the beauty of what Michael Porter Jr. is doing right now in these games is he is certainly making a case that he could be that guy and certainly should be given a chance to be that guy.
Do you think?
But he hasn't proven. I mean, do you honestly think that once they get into real playoff basketball that you can count on him doing what he's been doing in these games? No.
Here's the other thing. When the playoffs actually start, and the other teams actually start playing defense on Michael Porter Jr., then what does he become?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know either. No. He's an intriguing talent.
Sure.
But I just wonder if it's more for next year and beyond than it is actually this upcoming playoffs. But I can't wait to see him, and he should be given a chance. But I also believe that Will Barton's capable on any given night of being that third guy. But ultimately, there is a reason why I don't think the Nuggets can make it to the Western Conference Finals. I don't think they have a reliable third guy. I don't even think Jamal Murray's reliable enough to be counted upon in his role as, you know, the Robin to Jokic's Batman.
I tell you what. So I'm looking at you from about...
Jokic is the only guy I could truly count on.
I'm looking at you from about 15 feet away.
Yeah, it's about the distance.
Through the glass.
Yeah.
Man, I just got chills.
How's that?
You were talking.
Yeah? Why?
Because you looked exactly like Buzz Lightyear. And you said, you looked at me like with this real serious face and you said, I think he's more a guy that you can rely on or count on, next year and beyond, like infinity and beyond. That's what you look like. To infinity and beyond. And I was like, woof.
Did you get chills?
I did. I got a little, I mean, you know, that's one of those movies. It's in the rotation with my granddaughters.
Yeah.
You know, all of them are good.
Is that the same kind of chill you got there when you heard Poopoo Shmishu? What's?
Oh,
we promised to tell the story about
right.
this, by the way.
Popo Shisho?
Popo Shisho.
Yeah.
Do you need to tell?
Popo Shisho.
Okay. So, somebody asked, what are some of my favorite? Well, it was during, you know, Mike Golic is no longer. Part after 22 seasons on ESPN radio, he's no longer part of ESPN radio. They have moved on from Mike Golic. And I was part of the Mike and Mike show for 16 years. And so they asked me kind of my favorite memories of being a part of Mike and Mike. And, you know, both of these, not stink, but two of my other nicknames came from the Mike and Mike show. Detective Rock Hoover came from Mike and Mike. And my granddaughters call me Popo. And that nickname came from Mike and Mike. And so I was on Mike and Mike and, you know, we were just dunking around like we tend to do. And I had announced that my son and my daughter-in-law were having a baby and that I was going to be a grandfather. And, you know, I think I was like 47 at the time. And they're like, oh my gosh, congratulations. That's great. Da, da, da. What are you going to call yourself? Well, it was around the holidays. And we had as a family before I went out, we had, the Santa Claus on. And there's a scene in the Santa Claus
with Tim Allen
where, the police are questioning him and he keeps, I am Santa Claus. I am Kris Kringle. I am, you know, and he gives all these different names for Santa. And one of the names was Popo Shisho. And they're like, well, what do you think you're going to call yourself? And I just watched the game. I go, I don't know. I was thinking about Popo Shisho, you know, and so that's where the soundbite comes from. And from that point forward, I was known as Popo. Like, everybody goes, oh, Popo, that's good. You can be Popo. And that's how my nickname for Grandpa came along, is I am Popo.
All right, see this?
Popo Gijo.
There it is. I don't know how I feel about this now, because when I first heard that your grandkids called you Popo, I was like, well, that is, I like, that's cool.
Right.
I love that. That's, what a great grandpa nickname, Popo. But now, come to find out, you gave yourself your own nickname. And you know how fundamentally I'm against the idea of anybody who gives themselves their own nickname.
Okay,
you can't give yourself your own nickname.
Okay, there are certain...
I mean, Kobe Bryant, rest in peace, but I never liked the idea that he called himself the Black Mamba.
Right.
I don't like the fact that LeBron James calls himself the Chosen One. You can't give yourself your own nickname.
There are certain...
Did I call myself the sausage?
No.
No, it was given to me.
There are...
The sausage.
There are certain situations in which those rules don't apply, Mike, because generally, I agree. But how many nicknames has Shaq given himself, and they're all cool? The Big Cactus?
Yeah.
The Big Aristotle?
Yeah.
Like, and we like that.
I know.
So here's the point about the nickname. I was joking around. Like, nobody would ever call themselves Popo Gijo. It was a joke. And it was a joke that they actually liked, so then it stuck. So it was really like, I'm joking around, and because I made a joke, next thing you know,
yeah, but it's not like somebody in your family was listening to the show and said, hey, let's call you Popo. You brought it home with you and said, hey, everybody, on Mike and Mike today, we came up with the cute idea that I should be called Popo.
No.
And that's how it stuck.
No, when I said it, they laughed, and they started calling me Popo, and then everybody called me.
All right, they started calling you Popo?
Yes. I was just joking. I think this, because I originally said I want the kids to call me Popo Gijo. Like, I wanted the whole thing as a joke. Like, no, like what, you know, 2-year-old could go, hey, Popo Gijo, right? Nobody could do that. And then they just turned it into Popo, and then they started calling me Popo, and then it just stuck. So it's not, I passed the smell test.
There you go. There it is. The story of Popo.
Yeah.
Popo Gijo.
There it is. Okay. One more. Is It Just Me segment on a Friday where we've got loose. All right. Oh, I like this one. How about this one, Mark?
Yeah. What is it?
From a texter, I will make a bet that when the playoffs start, MPJ is a starter. If he isn't, then I will eat Play-Doh and film it for you.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Because I love that bet. Please, by all means, can't wait to see it. There's no second part to that bet. That's like you betting a tattoo for Tebow without anybody else having
to
do
anything. Well, that's fine. Or it's like D-Max bet now.
Yeah.
That's just against himself, too. Could MP? Well, yeah. I mean, if these other guys aren't healthy,
sure,
he'll be the starter.
Yeah,
of course he'll be the starter. Would I make him and you know what? I actually would start him because I think that and here's why. Because
if everybody is healthy,
if everybody's healthy, and I actually like the idea of Will Barton coming off the bench because the best six men in basketball are veterans because they understand the role.
Uh-huh.
They don't get upset because they're not starting. They are able to sit back and watch the flow of the game for the first 5-6 minutes and have a good sense of what the game is like when they enter the game.
Right.
The best six men are veterans. I wouldn't want Michael Porter Jr. to be the sixth man because who knows how a young player is going to react to, oh, I'm not starting.
How does it sit with him, though, with Will Barton if, hey, I've been a starter.
He's already, go follow Will Barton on Twitter. He raves about Porter. So I don't think Barton would have a problem with it. I think Barton would be good in that role. Cause one thing we've seen from Barton, he can get hot. He can be instant offense. He could be your, back to the days of the Bad Boy Pistons. He could be your microwave. Vinny Microwave Johnson. Barton could be that kind of player. So yeah, I would have no problem with Porter being the starter.
Okay.
And with the idea that if he's on, if he's got it, ride it. If not, and it's one of those kind of head-scratching, What happened to you? Where'd
you go?
Why were you good one day and so bad the next? Then you just put him on the bench, and then you turn to somebody like Barton. I'm okay with that. Here's one for you. Is it just me? How is it that Drew Locke goes 4-1 against totally mediocre competition, and you're anointing him the next savior when Michael Porter Jr. does well? You say to pump the brakes constantly. Jim and Conifer.
Well, obviously, Jim has not listened to this show.
Have you anointed Drew Locke the savior? Because I know I haven't.
Absolutely not. You're talking about other shows. You're talking about other people. You're talking about the kind of people that watch the Broncos take wide receivers in the deepest wide receiver class in the history of the draft in the first round and the second round, and we're like, yeah, they're going all the way. That other shows do that. We deal in reality here.
Yeah.
We actually look at the totality of what's going on.
I actually love the Locke and Porter comparison because I look at them exactly the same way. They have both done enough to make you really excited about their potential, and you want to see more. But you're not ready to commit to either one of them yet. That's exactly what I've said about Locke. I cannot tell you right now if Drew Locke is the Broncos quarterback of the future. Nope,
right.
Can't do it. What I can tell you is that he's shown enough that I think he's been given the opportunity to show he's the guy.
Right.
And, okay, Michael Porter Jr.'s done enough in these tune-up games that I think he should be given the opportunity to show he can be the guy.
Right.
In these playoffs. But I'm not sure about either one of them.
Right. It's like your first date. You go on your first date. It's great. Right? You really like this young lady. Seems like she's a great young lady. You're like, man, I can't wait for the second date. You go on the second date. It's awesome. You're like, this is going to work out. And then you go to the beach. And her second toe is longer than her big toe.
Oh,
and you're like,
oh,
God. And then you dump her. You say, that's it. I can't live with that. Right?
Huh.
Never thought about it that way, did you?
Never, ever looked at it that way.
Right.
Huh. Mm.
I cannot hang
with you. I don't know if that would be... Would that be a... That'd be a deal breaker for you, huh?
Freak toe? Yeah.
I don't know if that'd be a deal breaker for me.
Yeah, it depends, I guess. But you know what I'm saying.
Yes, I know what you're saying. Let's see.
I'm just going to interrupt you for a minute. Remember a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago when Bol Bol was the guy that was going to lead us?
Yes, everybody was going crazy over Bol Bol. Yes.
And now it's Michael Porter Jr. Yes. That's going to lead us?
Yes.
Like, I mean.
And didn't we predict that, by the way?
Come on, fanboy. Did I not say that Bol Bol would be the guy sitting at the end of the bench with really long pants on?
Although Bol Bol played 25 minutes yesterday.
All right, well, we'll see. We'll see when the actual playoffs start.
Hey, there was something you brought up the riddle earlier today.
Yes, yeah.
About what was it about the dog again? The dog riddle.
Oh yeah, how far can a dog run in the woods?
Yeah,
yeah. Answer was halfway.
Halfway. Then he's running out of the woods.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's one for you, this is just for you. I'm passing. I'm out because I don't do riddles. I'm not good at them.
Yeah.
Mark, what is the only room you cannot enter?
The only room you cannot enter. The only room you cannot enter.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Millennial Ben's yammering in my ear. Classic millennial. It's a mushroom.
Oh, you can enter a mushroom.
Is that the answer? Seriously, is that the answer?
I don't know.
The guy that sent in the riddle didn't send the answer. How can you do that? That's annoying. You can't send us a riddle and then not include the answer. Oh.
A mushroom.
What's the only room you cannot enter?
The only room you cannot enter. I have no idea.
I don't know that either. Millennial Ben insists it's a mushroom. That's a stupid riddle.
Yeah.
Stupid, stupid, stupid.
I'm trying to think if there's another room. Like, is there like a certain room that's like
that you can't enter? All right. I don't know. I was hoping for an answer. Didn't get one. All right. Okay. Good luck to the Nuggets. Avalanche, by the way, can clinch the number one seed in the West tomorrow night with a win over Vegas. Let's go, Avs. And see if the Rockies can keep it going. Is it just me, or is it too bad that the Rockies won't have a chance to light up Ryan Shaw this weekend?
Ugh.
Huh? How about
that?
That'd
be great.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
So, anyway, have a great weekend. We're back on Monday. Sandy and the Big O coming up next.
I tell you what, one of the best shows in Denver, Colorado, coming up right now. Next, it's Sandy and the Big O. Ladies on that cigar, Big O.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.